Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 25th, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Please text before you call because of all the robocalls. Now, you can find updates to the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on an internationally. It's live on YouTube. It's on some FM station. So pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. Places like San Diego, Chile. We haven't heard from Chile in a while. Hello to you folks over there. Istanbul, Turkey. Hanoi, Vietnam. Vienna, Australia. And, of course, in the United States, such as Phoenix, Arizona. Plano, Texas. Portland, Oregon, and Anchorage, Northport, Alaska, the United States, and even some folks over there in New Orleans, Louisiana. But you know what, folks? This week, Newark, New Jersey is the largest group of listeners to our radio programs. That's at least when they go to podcast later tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I really pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking some more about the human soul. We had talked about this a few weeks back. I really don't, maybe a month. Anyway, so tonight we have back on with us Tom Mack. He is the principal owner of White Cottage Publishing Company, a publisher turning manuscripts into books. He lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He's also an A-plus certified computer technician, net certified network technician, a book designer, webmaster of several websites. In the past, he was an airport administrator, an IT manager, and company controller. He's taught college at two institutions of higher learning. He's also an income tax specialist who often gets consulted on various types of tax issues. Tom has researched the Bible for over 40 years, finding a lot of details that even most scholars miss. He is one of the pioneers of the Bible Codes movement, and he's been researching Bible codes since 1996. That's over 20-plus years of code research. So welcome now, Tom.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you on.
And it's sort of, we're going backwards in this because tonight I'm actually going to get into the basics of what the human soul is. Pastor Dan?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just adjusting my volume a little bit. So I'm sorry to be sidetracked there. Anyway, We went into this a few weeks ago, didn't we? Or was
yes.
it a month?
This is actually our third program on the subject.
Right. I was just it's been at least a month, though. But, you know, with scheduling the way it gets, you know, some things come in and wipe out other things that were supposed to be on for the next week. That happens, you know, in radio. But we're glad to get back to this. You might give, when you go into it, give maybe a little recap, tell people where we're at. And you can take the program whenever you want.
Okay, well, basically, the human soul, I call it the linchpin of life. If you don't have a soul, you don't have a mind, you don't have will, you don't have emotions. And we're going to find out tonight that that's what the devil is after. And we saw that a few weeks ago when we talked about it, that these guys want to steal your soul, and they want to replace you and turn you into what I call the golem state. And in case some of you don't know what a golem is, it is a creature that was created by various Jewish rabbis throughout history to help them out with various issues they were facing. Like the Golem of Prague was created because the Jewish people in Prague, Czechoslovakia, or Czech Republic now, at that time they were part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And they had decided that the Jewish people in that part of the world needed to move, because the king wanted to give their good land to somebody else. Well, the Maharal of Prague, the head rabbi of Prague, he couldn't see his people going through this hardship, so he created a golem. And a golem is a mud creature, but it has no soul, so it can't talk. All it does is whatever the rabbi tells it to. And this golem started wreaking havoc with the army, and finally the king literally had to come to the Maharal and beg to stop this golem. Well, the Maharal said, fine, but I got two conditions for you. One, you will never ever force my people off their land. And two, if you do that, I will wake this golem up and we will have problems again. And it's interesting, during World War II, the Gestapo actually sent a couple of agents to go destroy this golem. They were that scared of it. But when they went to the Maharal's old synagogue to get rid of it. It was supposedly up in the attic of this place. The only people who didn't come back were the two Gestapo agents. And the Gestapo didn't try again. So,
well, that's... Go ahead.
And there's all sorts of stories about golems. And golems have appeared in video games, and I have another thing where I mention a lot of the TV shows they have appeared on. And there's even a couple of movies about golems. But the thing is, the golem is what our New World Order would like people to become. That is what Jeffrey Epstein was trying to do. And a lot of other New World Order people, with all the abuse we've seen and all the human trafficking, and the reason they could get away with it for so long is because they figured out how to subvert the soul so that they could get control. And that's always been their goal, is to get control of the world and rule it for themselves.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And that would be a great program. There is quite a connection with all this trafficking, with Hillary is connected to it, the Rothschild, all of those things are all connected together. I'd like to see, to explain that to the folks, because that is quite a connection, believe me.
Well, people have started researching these people now that, you know, now that we have an independent media that's truly independent. People are starting to dig in to who some of these people are. And we're finding that Jeffrey Epstein was taking his millions, which we don't know how he got those millions. We just know he has them. And he is invested in things like the Child Mind Institute. He also invested in the Nathan Klein Institute. Nathan Klein is an interesting character. He sent our anthropologist named Dr. Wade Davis down to Haiti. He had heard rumors about how the Voodoo priests could turn people into zombies. Let's stop laughing. But he sent Dr. Davis down to track this all down. And sure enough, he did. And when he did, he found out that they were using a substance called reserpine. And reserpine is a major ingredient in tetrodotoxin, which comes from certain Caribbean fish. And they found out that with this medicine, if you want to call it that, I think it's a little stretching it, they could literally, quote, cure a lot of people in mental institutions. Nathan Klein, who's a famous doctor, almost got a Nobel Peace Prize for it. He didn't. He lost out in the last round, but he still got Lasker Prize, which is the number one prize in medicine back in about 1954. But what happened? They found out that reserpine was sort of their cure-all, just like cocaine was the cure-all for Sigmund Freud. Only Sigmund Freud was smart enough to understand that cocaine had some very major drawbacks. And the trouble is, reserpine, those drawbacks were intended. They wanted a dumbed-down population. And why do you think medicine is loaded with psychotropic drugs? We have many. It is just ridiculous.
Absolutely. It's just like the government, past governments, and I don't know about the current one, but I know past governments of the United States, and we've caught it, even Reagan's government was caught messing around in the cocaine and also the heroin trade. CIA allowing it into the country and even helping it to come into the country to subvert society. It's a control thing. It's not a, you know, back to you.
Yeah, it's, and as I said, the thing that they have looked for ever since the Nazis in the 30s and 40s and the CIA in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and even till today have looked for ways to control the population. And the what they learned is if they can somehow control or remove the souls from human beings, then they can control them. And so they've spent a lot of their time. If you go back and look at an old movie named The Serpent and the Rainbow, you actually saw it visualized. And actually, the movie did a pretty good job with it. It's sort of hard to find the movie now, but I can probably send you a copy. but it's...
Yeah, absolutely. It seemed, that name, that movie sounds familiar. I may have watched it a long time ago, but send it to me. That would be a good thing. I'd like to see it again. Now, under, you know, what you're saying, see what you're talking about. Back to you.
But I think the first thing we need to do is we need to do a little basic research and understand what the soul is, where it fits in the human existence. Because if we go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Apostle Paul gives us the basic explanation of the human existence. And he said, the very Elohim of peace separate you wholly, so that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Master Yahushua, the Messiah. And Paul explains that you need all three. And if you don't have all three, you're not going to be working right. And so what the devil has always attempted to do is to subvert souls and to replace parts of the souls with demons. We saw that from Psalm 7:2, where David talked about his enemies shattering his soul in pieces when there was none to deliver. And so this has become a goal. They don't take it all at once. Actually, the devil would like to have it all at once, but it's more practical to take pieces. And there's ways to take pieces. We talked about that a little bit in other shows, so I won't go into a lot of detail here. But the PowerPoint that I sent you has, on slide 5, sort of a visual picture of what a man is. We see the flesh, but inside the flesh there is the soul, and inside the soul is a spirit. And the connection between the flesh and the spirit is the soul. So you have to get part of that picture set in your mind. But as we started to study this a little more, we started to realize that the Catholic Church decided in 867 AD that man didn't really have a spirit, contradicting a number of scriptures which we'll cite. But Pope St. Nicholas, not the guy who allegedly is supposed to bring presents at Christmas time. This is another guy. His name is Pope St. Nicholas. And he was having a very hard time controlling the Eastern churches, which he tried to claim belonged to him, and that he was the head of all the churches. The other four patriarchs said, not so fast. Well, at the end of this conference, Pope Nicholas I announced that human beings really didn't have a spirit. They just had souls and bodies. As you can see, he contradicted Paul. Well, the Catholic Church believes they can do that. They believe that revelation is ongoing, and that all comes through them, because they're the Supreme Church. Well, that isn't quite what the Bible says, but that's what they believed and what they've been trying to sell ever since about the 5th century.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'll say this about that. As far as the Catholic Church goes, one of the easiest ways to find out is simply go to, they have Catholic Bibles. And if you look in the Catholic Bible, that you will see that the commandment, that's the out of the Ten Commandments, the ten words, where it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or bow down and worship to them, so on. They took that out. They moved all the rest of the commandments up. He took the last commandment, which is thou shalt not covet, and broke it into two, so there's still ten commandments. But they believe, and it goes back to this, they believe that the Pope is actually Messiah on earth, and that he has the authority to change anything, including the word. Back to you.
Yeah, they call that ex cathedra, and that's what Pope Nicholas there did there, is he spoke ex cathedra, and that means I am speaking as if I am God, which is blasphemous. I mean, it's beyond blasphemous. But they have been making ex cathedra statements ever since Pope Gregory the First. Well, they call him Gregory the Great. I don't think he's so great, but now the Catholic Church has never consulted me on anything, and I don't think they're going to start now. And
will we call you Pope Mac?
Well, there's never been a Pope Mac. There's been a lot of popes.
Yeah, I
know. About 800 of them, but
yeah. Well, why not a Pope Mac? I mean, you know, come on. Go ahead. I'm just having fun. We got about a minute.
But the thing is, what the Catholic Church is trying to do is, if man doesn't have a spirit, the only connection they can have with our Heavenly Father is suddenly through them and by them. They want to take control. And by teaching that man doesn't have a spirit, they suddenly become the spirit of man, which is completely blasphemous. Job 32:8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. That's Job 32:8. Little hint I'll pass out to people. When somebody quotes you scripture, say in a sermon or something, always write down the chapter and verse first, and then write down the book.
Right.
I've
got to break in. We've got to go. Give them one of your websites, and we got to go for a break.
Okay. My main website is whitestonefoundation.org. And if you want to contact me, it's tom.mack, M-A-C-K, at whitestonefoundation.org.
Okay, folks. I'll tell you what, folks. Wherever you find this later on tonight in podcast, or who knows, you might be on listening to a podcast now, although I'm talking in the future tense. Is that weird or what? Anyway, wherever you find the podcast at, you will find links to his various websites, and I'll even put his email address in there. But right now, we got to go. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Israel, Israel, by the great sea, borders from the river Nile. This land to his servant Abraham by promise to him and his seed.
Moses seen this land of promise beyond the river Jordan. God gave to his servant. of hell. Doubt of it would rise a nation for all the world to see. Israel, Israel, God has chosen Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by faith did receive the spoken word of the Father, blessing all their needs. They dwelt in the land of Canaan, where Jesus would be born. Israel, Israel, God has chosen Israel.
Israel, Israel, by the great sea, borders from the river Nile to the Euphrates, God has given all this land to his servant Abraham by promise to him and his seed.
We are told in 1 John 3:4 that sin is the transgression of the law. Yet there are many today who would lead us to believe that certain of the Ten Commandments should be disregarded. Jesus warns, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The Greek word translated iniquity in the statement, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity," is anomia, which means transgression of or against the law. In 1 John 3:4, the same Greek word is used. Sin is anomia, the transgression of the law. There is only one group of people that call Jesus Lord, those calling themselves Christians. Jesus tells us that there will come a day when many will question, "Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" It is sad to consider the fact that many will be told, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that transgress my laws." I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we're going to get right back with Tom Mack here in a moment. We're going to be talking about the human soul and how there are entities, people, and other things out there, of course, to steal your soul. But anyway, first, a little bit about Messiah's Branch. Folks, we've been in the mission church for this mission church for like 12 years. We've been doing the Wichita Mission Church for 20 years, and we're in our 20th year. Right now, our walk-in cooler is out, and we lost some products, some foods and things, and we're praying that we get it fixed. And so, but we do need your help. We're still in the middle of summer. We have no idea what it's going to cost to fix. It's hard to, you think about that. You have house guest, you have to have a lot of food on hand. Well, try 60 to 100 house guests at a time that you have to have food for that. You have to have extra large everything, like gallons of mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, all of those things, tons and tons of eggs, because we serve egg sandwiches and so on and so forth. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really, really, really do need your help. But anyway, we ministered to people in a part of town. Most people don't like to even drive through, and that's a fact. But is that not where the body of Messiah should be, is among the sinners, as Yeshua was? Even the homeless went out of that neighborhood before dark. We are the last hope for so many, and folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with support, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Now, you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can call and give a donation over the phone. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And pray about supporting radio, because you enjoy these radio programs. Radio is not free, so pray about it. If you donate to radio, make sure you point out it's for radio. And now we're back with Tom Mack, if he hasn't went on vacation like other people.
I don't get to go on vacation.
I don't know what a,
I don't
what is
see
a vacation.
Anywhere in the Bible where man got to go on vacation.
Now, I don't either. I don't get to go on vacation. You know, wait a minute. I get vacation one day a week, if you want to call it that. Well, I call it
that. Yeah, Shabbat.
Shabbat.
That is, in fact, you're... It's questionable whether you can go anywhere on Shabbat.
Yeah, well, you just got to get there beforehand, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, that's where I get my rest. But we learn, as people that really keep the Sabbath, we know how to shut the door on the world until the Sabbath is over, so every Sabbath is like a vacation. And that's what you are. You're supposed to get spiritual rest and physical rest. And so you shut off the world for that period of time, and then you're ready to fight the rest of the week, because believe me, existence is a fight, and if you just lay down, you're going to be ran over. You need to stand up for your faith, you need to stand up for your family, and you need to stand up for what's right. Oh, anyway, we were talking about something. Back to you.
Well, now that we've had a break and rested for a second here, now we're going to take it up a notch. Because starting in the late 19th century, a college professor from the University of Leipzig in Germany started proposing that people don't have souls, that man is nothing more than a physiological body. And Dr. Wilhelm Wundt, that's a mouthful of name, but he wrote in a textbook, Intro to Psychology, "The soul can no longer exist in the face of our present-day physiological knowledge." And he didn't, you know, that big lab he had at the University of Leipzig, it was a experimental psychology lab, he never noticed that when someone died, that they automatically lose couple ounces worth of weight the second they die. How can that be? And he started saying that the soul and the spirit, belief in such things should be relegated to the primitive races. He didn't think that in modern times, being the 20th century, that we should be believing in this stuff. Well, about everything Wilhelm Wundt ever said has been discredited. Everything. Except you go to a doctor, you go to any physician, and they still accept this particular statement as established fact. That's why psychology, for the most part, fails 90% of the time. And the only time that there's any kind of counseling works is in a Christian perspective, when they reject this notion of Dr. Wundt, and they understand that people do have body, soul, spirit. Because it works fine. In fact, I remember going to my physician one time, and his big complaint is he said, psychology is all nebulous. There is nothing that I can objectively hang on to about psychology that I can work with. He said, if you come in with a broken bone, I'll set it. If you come in with a heart, or come in with a hole in your heart, I can fix that. You know, I can fix a physiological issue. But when it comes to the mind, the will, and the emotions, our medical science is still clueless. We've had psychiatry for literally centuries now, and we're not any closer to solving the human condition. In fact, it's gotten worse, and it's gotten worse because people now reject the idea that people have souls and spirits. In fact, it's gotten so bad that Webster's Dictionary, when it describes the soul, says, recent psychology, for the most part, dispenses with the concept of the soul as an entity.
Let me pipe in here a minute. A number of years back, I thought that I wasn't sure what profession I was going to use. Way, way earlier when I first injured my back, probably about 1985, 86, something like that. And so I went to college for a semester. Well, part of that, I took Psych 101. And in Psych 101, one of the first things that psych book taught, it says, if you were, basically, I'm paraphrasing it, but it told you that religion and psychology didn't mix, that you had to leave religion and your beliefs completely out of psychology and only believe the psychology. And then, you know, and I've asked actual psychologists since then about that, and they deny it, but I read it in black and white. They say, oh, it mixes. No, it doesn't. They teach you this very thing that you're talking about. I know this as a witness. Anyway, folks, I only went to that college for 1 year, and I quit Psych 101 before the end of the year. Back to you.
Yes, my Psych 101 wasn't much better. And he did a rather good job of deriding any kind of religion. In fact, to the point where he started to upset the administration of the school because I went to a Methodist college. But he continued to teach there for many, many more years. But one of the quotes here on slide 12 is, this is interesting. This is from Tana Dineen. She's a psychologist from Canada. She wrote a book called Manufacturing Victims. And this quote is very interesting. The horrific suffering that some victims bear cannot be trivialized. Nor can it be implied that people never carry scars. Some people do need help in living with life's experiences. But the psychology industry profits from turning people into victims to benefit itself. While people can manifest remarkable resilience, psychology has been largely responsible for the creation of a world in which people live in fear that they will crumble. Basically, psychology has become a business, and the way it became a business, we mentioned Dr. Nathan Klein and Reserpine. Well, since Reserpine has been on the market in the 50s, they have come up with several thousand psychotropic drugs, and they use that as a control mechanism. It became big business. Suddenly the psychologist and the psychiatrist don't counsel people. They hand them a psychotropic drug and send them on their way. And they claim that solves the problem. Nathan Klein was acclaimed in the state of New York to the point that they named a mental hospital for him because he used psychotropic drugs to empty out the mental institutions, saving the state lots and lots of money. It's become a major business. And this is the trouble we have, is we've thrown out the soul and replaced it with drugs. And what they don't understand is those drugs are sorcery. The word for sorcery in Greek is pharmakia. We get our word pharmacy from it. We are not curing people by giving them these drugs. They always talk about, oh, he's got a chemical imbalance. Well, how do you come up with that, Dr. Klein? You don't even know what the brain should have for a chemical composition. So if you don't know that, how can you know there's an imbalance? You don't do any tests to determine that. That would take years and years and years, and I don't think even after you did millions of tests, you would come up with anything viable. Because no two people are different, are the same. They're all right. Different, and their chemical compositions are going to be different based upon where they live and what they're doing. So when somebody says that, it's completely absurd. If you look at it from a research angle, and I've done a lot of research in my day, and I've come to realize that sometimes these guys act like there's a lot of research, but in the truth of the matter is, there isn't. And then to make it worse, they start passing off a theory of evolution. And again, evolution fights the idea that God created heaven and earth. Instead, they come up with evolution, which is nothing more than a theory developed by man to account for human existence. And then the second thing we're forced to believe, if we want to believe evolution, is that time is the magic wand of evolution. If we give evolution enough time, we can create anything we want. But evolution insists that we believe in time and millions of years of it. And that's so anti-scriptural, it's unbelievable. And actually, I go back, and the first person I believe actually believed in evolution was Isaac Newton, who is also the guy that gives us all the physics that gets taught in high school and college curriculums.
But, I didn't, wait a minute. I thought Isaac Newton, he had a lot. Maybe I've got the wrong guy. I thought he had a lot of connection. We even predicted the date of return of Yeshua. Am I getting him mixed up with somebody else?
No. Isaac Newton was a very, very diverse person. A lot of the calculus we use, he actually first worked out, along with a guy named René Descartes out of France. They almost worked on the same stuff, but never met, and they never were able to compare notes. Would have been interesting if they did.
Yeah.
Also, he was an astronomer, but the biggest thing he was into was alchemy.
Right.
He literally tried to solve the problem of turning metals into gold.
Right.
Actually, it is theoretically possible to do that, just very, very expensive. But what you have to do is you have to remove the proper amount of protons, neutrons, and electrons to get the atomic number of a substance down to where it will become gold. And unfortunately, Isaac Newton didn't have that technology. And what he didn't understand is that we live in a quantum world. We live in a quantum world. And that's something that people don't realize. And all of this that we're seeing from much of our scientific world is based on Newton. But starting in the early 20th century, several scientists started to realize that linear time and almost everything about the universe as Newton defined it was not true. That there is a quantum world, and a quantum world accommodates the existence of a Heavenly Father. And it understands that there is order in the universe. Everything is not random. In fact, from everything I've found, nothing is random. Everything has a design to it. And starting with Einstein's theory of relativity, Newton's notion of linear time has a lot of holes shot into it. And we started to realize that human beings are created beings. And they have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And that soul governs people's ability to gather knowledge, to think, to feel, and to make decisions. And that, for all intents and purposes, man is a purely spiritual being. And the body is a physical manifestation of that spiritual being. And so what these people are trying to do in the 21st century is get rid of the soul. Because once the soul is eliminated from a human being, they cannot communicate with their spirit. And when they cannot communicate with their spirit, they become just physical bodies. They can literally become trained monkeys in a New World Order machine.
Right.
And so, when we move forward, we have to help people to bring back their souls. We publish a book called 21st Century Warfare Prayers, and one of the things in that book is prayers to help you restore your soul and to bring it back into your body where it belongs. Because for too long, these New World Order people have used advertising. They've used other things as well to subvert people's soul, to sell them products that are expensive, and to get them to believe in wars when wars just kill people, and to get them to follow other people. This is something, as we're starting to get towards closing time, that we need to understand is we need our soul, and it's important to have our soul. And if you feel like there's something missing there in your life, pray to your Heavenly Father that He restores your soul. Gee, I remember that in a Psalm 23rd.
Yeah.
Yes. He restoreth my soul.
He restoreth my soul.
I wondered if you were going to. It was already there.
I'm going to butt in. I wondered if you were going to bring that up, because that's exactly what hit me. You know, I thought, well, I started to say something about what you were saying, and then I remembered it. It says, well, and he restoreth my soul. Because they try to destroy your soul, and they try, I agree, that they try to disconnect you from the spiritualness of you, and that's what the drugs do, is it makes your brain in such a way that you can't function, you know, and you're putting out some really good information. We got about 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh, boy. That's one of the things, and we saw in Nazi Germany. That's why I spend so much time studying what happened back there, because they figured out how to literally displace the soul of an entire country so that the people would follow somebody like Hitler. Because, I mean, could you, Hitler sell himself in the United States in the 1930s? And the answer is, they consider him a nut. Yet, he was able to sell himself in Germany. And
right.
It's because they could deny the existence of the soul. And by denying the existence of the soul and the spirit, they could convince people that they're just fleshly bodies, and that they're just, that they can do what the collective tells them to do.
Right, right. Absolutely. 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 Very good information. anyway, Tom, we've got about 2 minutes, and I thought maybe you should take this 2 minutes and explain to them some of your different sites and what all's there and how they can find you. And take your time. You got a couple minutes.
Okay. Again, my main site is WhiteStoneFoundation.org. And my business site is WhiteCottagePublishing.com. We do publishing. We can take your manuscript. We can turn it into a book. And we do it. We go through that book, we edit it, we typeset it, we lay it out, and then we get it in distribution, and you'll find your book on Amazon. You will find it on all the major bookstore sites. And we just finished one, and next time we get together, we'll talk about Typhon, the destroyer of worlds.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. Go ahead. Back
yes. Yes, it's a really tough subject, and I would suggest people read Revelation 7, 8, and 9 in preparation for it.
All right, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait to read it. It really sounds interesting. How long before it's actually in, you know, accessible? Is it on bookstores now, or what?
Yes, you can get Typhon, the Reaper of Worlds, on Amazon. I'll send you a link after the show, and you can put it up there.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. If you send me the link, I'll add it with the other links, and I'll point it out so it'll be with the podcast that goes out. So that'd be a good idea. A really good idea. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tom, I'm glad to have you on, and we'll talk about. We'll get in touch. About how soon to get you on for that next one, because I do want to do that one, but we really got to go. I'm going to have to let you go.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay. All right. Well, it was a blessing. That was some really good information, and thanks for covering a really tough subject. All right. All right. You be blessed. Goodbye and shalom to you, my brother. Bye bye. Okay, folks, that was Tom Mack. I'll put out the website so that you can find him. And remember, if you've got a book to publish, he's a publishing guy. So do that. Folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really could use your help right now at this time of the year. the walk-in cooler breaking down is a big deal, and we're praying that right now maybe the repair guy's over there looking at it so we'll know what it's going to cost. But remember, folks, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Share these radio programs with other people. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.